This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, head open three for the tie. Good! Wiley head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop the Age! 62 McPherson, 58 the Age in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here at 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man with a belly full of red velvet cake,
ooh, yeah.
Mr. Steve Sell.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Oh, Susan Newton. Thanks to Susan Newton for providing us a red velvet cake, and it was choice.
Everybody here at the office was dancing around and singing when I started busting out the red velvet cake, started cutting off individual slices.
Oh, yeah.
They were rejoicing here
at
the station.
We really appreciate it, and thanks to Susan, because that was really
sweet. In honor of our 150th show, which would be like Tuesday of next week.
Well, we didn't know we were going to make it through five, so
I'm still shocked. The owners are coming this week, so
yeah,
well, we might not make it to 150. We'll have to play it by ear. We'll give you a heads up.
Yeah, we hope we'll make it through the rest of the week. So.
You never know. Well, yesterday was a really fun day for us. We got to spend almost the entire day out at the baseball stadium. Bullpup baseball finishes the regular season with a sweep in a triangular, a win over Wellington, and a win over Goddard. Steve, we said it going into the day that those two games not only were really important in terms of the playoff seeding, which is very important, but it's such a big deal to get your momentum rolling into baseball regionals. Because we've said it a few times, regionals in baseball are almost unlike anything else I can think of in sports. In high school in this state, because it's really, really hard to make state, whether you're the best team, whether you're the worst team, or if you're 10-10. It's hard because baseball is a weird sport, especially at this level. And so to get your momentum rolling, get into the regionals, and kind of like we said, set the mark for everybody, because McPherson is the only team that's done. Buehler and Hayes still have games left to play.
No, Buehler's done. 13-7.
But Hayes has two games left to play, and the Bullpups have put the pressure on them to win both.
Yeah, Hayes, I think, actually has four, but only two that count.
Right.
Andover Central today, and they have both teams have the same record.
So those of you that are Bullpup baseball fans, keep your eye on Hayes and Andover Central
today. And root for Andover. You want Andover Central to win.
You'll put on your black and gold and say, go Jags.
Yeah, go Jags, because if Andover Central just wins one of the games, the Bullpups get the top seed. That's
right.
Our understanding.
And we have worked it out today that we will be going to regionals in Hayes next Wednesday. So that is May 16th, if my memory serves me correctly. We'll be there for one game or both games,
right,
depending on what happens.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Bullpups get that number one seed, and maybe they could take a little deep breath for game number one and play Ulysses. But you don't know what's going to happen when you get into that arena. You don't know. Ulysses might have one starter that is really good.
And that's what makes regionals
such a
crapshoot, because everybody's got a pretty good number one. And you just don't know how good that number one is, though. But that number one can pitch you into the finals, and then you take your chances from there. It's Johnny, what they call Johnny Allstaff. Everybody's on deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's, you know, they're going to pitch anybody and everybody in that second game to get through. So, but that first game, everybody goes, you know, generally with their ace. But I wrote in my column today, I have a column on the Bullpup baseball team today on midkansasonline.com.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I just got done reading
Zane Myers gave Coach Gerstner a lot to think about with his performance yesterday and his performance all year. I mean, Ulysses, they're not good. They're not very good. They've won, I think, five games all year. They generally don't hit the ball very much. But if you're Coach Gerstner, do you take a chance and save your ace, Dylan Wearies, for the championship game, or do you throw him in the first game to make sure you're in the finals? That's always the big question when it comes this time of year. There was a year, I can't remember what team it was. They were like 19-1, and they threw their number two guy, got beat.
It always happens.
Yeah, they got beat and didn't make state. They were one of the, you know, probably the favorite if they'd got there. Because once you get to state, you do throw your number one no matter what in the first round.
When I was in high school, I went to Olathe East, and it seemed like every year we got matched up in our regional with Olathe North. And it's not the way it always works out, but it just did while I was in high school. And Olathe North, the whole time I was there, top to bottom, they were not a very good team. They would typically be near the bottom of the league. But my whole time coming through, they had one starting pitcher and a starting catcher that started when they were freshmen, and they were very good. The pitcher went on to play at Emporia State and had a very good career. But every year, they would win their first game of regionals because they had one guy that was very good. Then you get into the second game, you've run out of pitching, yeah. You can't hit,
yeah.
And so they never made it to state. But that's the funny thing about high school baseball. And I said it a minute ago, you can have the best team, and you go out and play the worst team in the state and lose 1-0, and your season's done.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting setup, and I don't think it's a bad setup. I think it's hard, and it doesn't really reward the better teams, which I know that there are a lot of people that are of the opinion, if you are the number one team or you're the highest seeded team, you deserve some advantages. There are no advantages in Kansas high school baseball. No. And you mentioned the pitching your number one versus pitching your number two. My old high school baseball coach, John McDonald, his philosophy after getting burned one time by doing the same thing early on in his coaching career, and he talked about it with us a lot and saying, it's so important. Game one, no matter who you're playing, you have to throw your number one. And that's one opinion there. His dad was a longtime baseball coach, several state championships around at Shawnee Mission South and Blue Valley West. So when you are around high school baseball a lot, that tends to be the opinion. Now, the worse that team that you're going to play gets, the more you're tempted. And the better that number two team gets. Yeah. The more you're tempted, I got to save that number one.
If you're playing a 1-19 or an 0-20, boy, that's tempting.
Because how much do you think Coach Gerstner wants to throw Dylan Wearies in a regional championship game?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you throw him in a regional championship game, you feel really good, especially with the way they're hitting right now.
Yeah.
You feel really good. But you also know that if you leave him at shortstop and you lose game one, That's what you'll think about forever. It's just such a hard decision.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's so hard.
And Dylan Wearies, you talk about in his shortstop, he played maybe the best game at shortstop I've ever covered. He took at least three hits away in the Wellington game. Started, you know, he was part of two double plays. He had a 6-3 double play and then a 6-4-3 double play. But he played some spectacular shortstop. And, you know, he's going to go down. Probably, you know, I've covered the entire history of McPherson High baseball as far as the high school team. Now, of course, we had Legion teams in the summer. But as far as high school, he's got to be right up there with Drew Moffitt, Trent Babcock, and Jason Topman. You're talking about the Mount Rushmore. Chad Weedle is pretty close. But I think Topman, Babcock, Moffitt, and Wearies are probably the best four baseball players we've ever seen. And Johnny Coachman was up there pretty good. Jonathan Coachman.
Old Johnny.
Old Johnny Coachman, former ESPN guy. You know, he was up there. So, but he didn't have the career. Wearies has started since he was a freshman.
Right.
And
which is very hard
to do.
That
is phenomenal. He was the shortstop on the Bullpups' state runner-up team in 2015. He was the only freshman to play on the team that year. But, you know, he hit .444 last year, and he's like at .500 this year. So
yeah, he's hitting exactly .500. Yeah. With an on-base percentage of .636.
Yikes.
You know how hard that is to defend?
Yeah.
Whenever he gets out and doesn't reach base, it's a surprise. Where we always talk about baseball, the game of failure. Where if you reach base 3 out of 10 times, you're having a good career.
He fails 70% of the time in baseball.
He only fails 3 out of 10 times.
Yeah, you fail 70% of the time, and you're having a great year. That's what's so strange about baseball.
So we're excited to follow the regionals coming up next week, and we will know more about the seeding and where everybody will be by Saturday morning. Or is it by tomorrow?
I would say tomorrow, because aren't they doing records?
Oh, that's right. It is after Wednesday.
I think they're doing after Tuesdays or Wednesdays games.
So we should know by the end of the week we know where they'll be playing, what time and who Bullpup Baseball will be playing.
And it's probably the toughest regional of all the regionals. I broke down in my column today who the 8 leaders are in each of the regionals. And it is so wide open. Right now, to me, if I had to pick a favorite, Arc City. It's been a baseball town.
I've read they've been good.
It's been a baseball town. They've been 5A forever. This is their first year at 4A. They did really well when they dropped down in basketball and wrestling to 4A. I think they won wrestling and made it to the semis. Got third in the state in basketball.
Yeah.
And I think they're 14-4. And I think they're probably maybe the team to beat. Now, Miege is lurking around, but they're a 500 team, but remember who they play. So
they're in the EKL some of the best of Blue Valley West, St. Thomas Aquinas.
But, I mean, you got like Atchison, Wamego. I mean, there's a lot of, pretty average teams. So go to my...
There's some decent baseball over on the east side with Spring Hill.
Yeah, go to my column. If you want to see who the 8 leaders are in the clubhouse at this point, I've posted those.
High school baseball regionals are such a crazy thing, but I have some of my favorite memories from playing high school baseball in regionals, and we never made it out. And we played a game my senior year. We were the number 4 seed in the regional, and we were 8-12 on the year, so we were a good team. And we won game number 1 in extra innings. We had to rally to tie the game. There were ejections. People got hit in the head. There were all sorts of emotions. We come back, rally to win. We're down. I think we're tied in the 8th inning. Bases are loaded. Nobody out. I'm sitting over at first base thinking, well, that was a fun career. It was fun while it lasted. And we got 3 straight strikeouts to get out of the inning. All sorts of fun memories from regionals. And it all builds up to those 2 games, 1 game on 1 day to determine whether your season was worth it or not.
And, regionals, I go back. I played golf in high school. And regionals, we had regionals. My senior year, regionals were on our course, which really puts a lot of pressure on you because you're expected to play well. So they had split tees like they did today, starting on 1 and 10. And I started off on number 10, which is a par 3. I shank it just over there's a pond to the right, which doesn't come into play, but it came into play for me. I shanked one over by number 12 green. I start off with a triple bogey.
Great day.
I make a double bogey on 11. I'm 5 over after 2. You have to remember, every score counted back then because I was part of the 4-man team. So everybody's score counted. You didn't have 6 golfers and you take the 4 best. I shoot 43 on the back. My coach is like, 43? What, are you trying to make a stay home from going to state? Well, I was always good on the front 9. The front 9 was my 9. It was real short, a lot of trees. I shot 38 on the front, shot 81. We made it with no problem. But, when you start off and you shank a ball, that gets in your head. That just scares the heck out of you. Anyone that's played golf knows the laterals, boy, they get in your head. It's scary. Yeah. Ooh.
So, really fun day for Bullpup baseball yesterday. Bullpup softball, not quite as fun.
No.
As they lost their doubleheader with Wellington. So, they are 4-16 at the end of the regular season.
And they're not the last seed.
But the bright spot is, the same is true for them in regionals, that all it takes is 2 good games.
Bueller has yet to win. Abilene has won. They're 6-14. They're just a little better than the Bullpups. Hayes, 9-9 with 2 games today. I think it's Andover Central. They could end up under 500 because Andover. Yeah. So, like you say, you just got to play 2 good games and you're in. So if the Bullpups can cut down on the errors, I watched a little bit of them yesterday. There was an inning, 4 pitches, they had 2 outs. That inning ended up, the pitcher probably threw about 35 pitches, ended up giving up 3 runs. There's about 2 or 3 errors in there. You got to be able to catch the ball. And if they can catch the ball, they've got a chance. They've got as good a chance as any of those teams. Well, they pounded Bueller twice, so obviously they won't play Bueller anyway. They'll play Abilene in the first round.
Right.
And Hayes will take care of Bueller. There's no doubt about that. So if the Bullpups can somehow beat Abilene and get a shot at Hayes, who knows?
You never know.
Yeah.
So 2 days worth of Bullpup baseball and softball coming up next week, regionals. We'll see who can come and survive through that stretch. We're hoping that at least one of those teams make the state, maybe both, and it would be a very fun following week.
Oh, yeah.
Following that, as well as Bullpup soccer. Bullpup golf going on today at Turkey Creek. I know that you and I will probably be making our way out there at some point.
Yeah, yeah. They teed off at 10 o'clock. Golfers went off both 1 and 10. They probably had about 6 groups on each side. So the last groups probably went off about 11 o'clock. So
yeah,
they're looking at like 4:15, somewhere around there. So the guys that are chomping at the bit to get on the course and, you know, cussing why they're, we can't get on the course of a high school golf tournament. Should be about 4:15. You still got plenty of daylight. You can get your round in.
We'll take our first break. When we come back, we have a plethora of conversations to have, Steve.
Plethora.
You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Greetings from the future. Well, Steve, there were a lot of things running around yesterday in terms of headlines throughout the sports world, and we could talk about the Royals a little bit more coming up. I want to talk about LeBron James and the impact of what they did last night in the Cleveland Cavaliers sweeping the top-seeded Toronto Raptors. But I wanted to hit on one headline real quick, and that was the comments from Wendell Carter Jr., who, for those of you that don't remember, played at Duke. He was the one that fouled out of the game in the Elite Eight against KU on the charge call.
Right.
That he thought should have gone his way.
6'10", about 6'10".
Yeah, big guy. And his mother came out and made some comments yesterday. And I know that you've seen them. And I wasn't a huge fan of the comments that she made. Here's her direct quote. "When you remove all the bling and the bells and the sneakers and all that, you've paid for a child to come to your school to do what you wanted them to do for you for free, and you made a lot of money when he did that, and you've got all these rules in place that can't, that say he cannot share any of that." And he and she compares the NCAA and basketball to slavery.
Okay.
And my instant reaction to this is that I want to say that's a crazy take. But my first point, I'm not saying that there is not a need for change in college basketball, because I think there is.
There is.
But this is not quite the right way to put it. Number one, you don't have to play college basketball.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter could have gone to Europe. He could have gone to the NBA G League. He could have gone to China.
China.
He could have gone anywhere. Or he could have said, I'm not going to go participate in that stuff at Duke. I'm going to sit out a year, get trained, get ready for the NBA. He could have.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go to Duke.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go to KU. He didn't have to go to North Carolina.
Right.
He could have gone to Long Beach State. And I think his basketball career would be a whole lot different. But my idea here is you can go wherever you want. Number two, this slavery that Wendell Carter Jr.'s mother is speaking of really only applies to about 15 guys
right.
in the NBA every year.
Exactly.
That are the one-and-done type of players.
Right.
Anybody that's not a one-and-done and anybody that is not a big-time NBA prospect, this doesn't really apply.
Right.
So I think that the rest of the thousands of players that would very much appreciate a free education and all the other amenities that you receive from playing college basketball at a high level, I think it's hard to call that slavery.
Yeah.
My third point is she made this comment about the shoes. It's not all about the bells and the sneakers. I don't think that players getting shoes for free is the comment from people trying to back up the NCAA. Oh, they get free shoes.
Yeah.
So let's not pay them anymore. At Duke, you get a quality place to live if you are a Duke basketball player.
Yep.
For 8 to 9 months. You get a very quality education. What you make of that education is your choice. Number three, you get really fine facilities. You get Cameron Indoor Stadium. You get their practice facility. You get their weight rooms. You get their athletic training staff. You get the best coaches in the country. You get the best competition in the country. You get the best place to showcase your talent on ESPN than any other person in the country. Every week, you get the best chance to better yourself for professional basketball, debatably, happens at Duke.
Right.
So that doesn't sound quite like slavery to me.
No.
Number four, I don't think student-athletes have ever had it better than they do right now.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Look at all the luxuries that they get. And let's be honest, there are a lot of college basketball, college football, college lacrosse, whatever sport, players that don't really go to class all that often. No. They get a lot of help. Remember all the scandal stuff from Oklahoma State?
Once they get through the first semester eligible.
Especially for these one-and-dones.
Wendell Carter Jr., I would be willing to bet, didn't make a lot of his classes once basketball was over.
Fran Fraschilla has been talking about this for the last 12 hours. You know, Fran, Big 12 basketball analyst.
You bet.
And his quote on Twitter, the average power conference school spent $125,000 to $150,000 per player this year in college basketball. That is, whether you are Devontae Graham or you are Clay Young. Is that his name? The guy on the bench for KU?
Yeah.
The average college student leaves school with $37,000 in debt. He says, ask the eighth man at Notre Dame or Michigan State if they were exploited this year. Mm-hmm. Because the answer is no. I understand that some changes might need to be made
in college basketball. One and done's got to go.
Well, my change is you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
But there are some changes that need to happen. But to compare the lifestyle of a basketball player at Duke to slavery?
Yeah. It doesn't.
And this is the problem sometimes with people trying to make this argument. It happens in politics. It happens in sports. That people want to make a point, but their point is so extreme that you can't even take it serious. Where her case here is, we need to change some rules to benefit the student-athlete in college sports, particularly college basketball, more. And that is a good point to make.
Mm-hmm.
But when you drag it as far outside as you could possibly make it go, people aren't going to listen, and they're going to make fun of you, and they're going to make fun of that idea.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really thrilled with that comment. I think you were next to me whenever I first read it
for the first time.
I went, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that off my chest.
There you go. Okay.
That wasn't as much of according to Jim and Steve. That was more according to
Jim.
That
was according to Jim.
Yeah, normally according to Jim and Steve, but no, that was straight up according to me. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about LeBron. Royals starting a series with the Baltimore Orioles. Just remember that these two teams, 4 years ago, played in the American League Championship Series.
And now they stink.
And now they're the worst teams in the American League. Life comes at you fast.
Yep.
Let's take our final break. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. I swear Steve is over there. I know he had to be a little silent for the last segment with me getting on my soapbox.
Well,
I'm officially off the soapbox.
Okay, all right.
I want to play a quote for you tomorrow. I was going to use it today, but we kind of ran out of time with my ranting and college basketball decision-making from our boy, LeVar Ball.
LeVar, big baller.
We haven't heard much from him
in a while. Big baller's been quiet.
And I heard a quote from him yesterday that I want to play on tomorrow's show.
All right.
I want to talk a little bit about LeBron James, too, before we dive into the Kansas City Royals and everything else coming up for the rest of the week. So, are you familiar with Nick Wright, Steve?
Yes. Used to be in Kansas City, and now he's on with, who's the guy?
Chris Carter, yeah. So he's on FS1. He is the big LeBron James backer. Okay. In terms of the sports media, he's the opposite of Skip Bayless.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And they work at the same place.
Yes, and they go back-to-back in the mornings.
Oh.
So I wanted to give you some stats that he provided last night about LeBron James. Since returning to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference playoffs, not including the finals, he has played in 11 series, has 0 losses, 7 sweeps.
Wow.
44-8 overall record.
Not bad.
In the Eastern Conference playoffs since 2011, 23-0 in terms of series, 9 sweeps, and a 92-24 record. How about this? The most consecutive 25-5 playoff performances, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Mm-hmm. LeBron James, 18. LeBron James, 11. Michael Jordan, 11. Kobe Bryant, 10. Kevin Durant, 9. Tracy McGrady, 9. LeBron James, 8. LeBron James, 8.
There you go. Yep.
How about this? The Cavs with LeBron James have beat the Toronto Raptors in 10 consecutive playoff games. They are 30-1 against Toronto in their last 31 games
wow.
against them.
That's called having
That is domination.
That's called having somebody's number.
The stat that blew me away the most is talking about the 4-game series with Toronto. Here's LeBron James's numbers in that series compared to DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, two all-stars. LeBron, 123 points. Those two, 136 points. So almost match them.
Mm-hmm.
52 field goals for LeBron, 52 field goals for those two.
Mm-hmm.
31 rebounds in the series for LeBron James, 30 rebounds for those two. 41 assists for LeBron James, 42 assists
wow.
for DeRozan and Lowry. That is domination. And it's pretty unbelievable to think that he is now 4 wins away from taking this Cavaliers team to the finals.
Bunch of ham and eggers, too.
This team that couldn't figure it out.
J.R. Smith. Do you really count on J.R. Smith?
They couldn't even figure it out against Indiana.
I know. They were lucky they won that series.
Kevin Love, yeah, Rodney Hood.
Yeah. Kevin Love is an all-star. He may not be playing like an all-star.
Let's say more like was. I think he was an all-star this year. I don't think he's going to receive
injuries,
too many more.
A lot of injuries. He's had
nominations.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a LeBron Jordan debate because I don't think that's a lot of fun. I think that's sort of annoying. But I just want people to understand how good LeBron James is
yeah.
and how incredible what he does or what he is doing is. So, LeBron, we'll wait to see who they play. Boston did not close out the series
last night with
Philly.
Boston will win that series, though.
They're up 3-1. Tonight, the Jazz have a chance to stay alive, taking on the Rockets in Houston. The Pelicans trying to stay alive, facing Golden State. Both
over.
Teams down 3-1.
Both series are over.
Royals and Orioles start tonight. 3 games with the Baltimore Orioles. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All of them start at 6:05.
Can Danny Duffy finally win a game?
I'm excited to see.
He's pitching tonight.
Because he's due.
He's taking on
Nick Bundy.
Dylan Bundy.
Why did I say Nick Bundy?
Is that Al Bundy's son?
I don't know. Why do I keep saying Nick Bundy?
Dylan Bundy. He was a former big-time number one draft pick.
I think he's from Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's pretty good when he's on. But
yeah, his name's Dylan.
Royals have had some pretty good success through the years, though, at Camden Yards. One of my favorite ballparks because of the warehouse.
I think Babe Ruth was born in that warehouse or right behind it.
Hey, I love the warehouse.
The Babe.
Yeah.
What's his name? George Herman?
George Herman yeah. Ruth. Yeah.
George Herman Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
The Babe.
Yeah, I think he just about finished his career when I was born, somewhere around there.
Thank you. died before you were born. I don't know what year you were born. I could take a pretty good guess. I don't think the Babe was alive
for a whole lot longer. Yeah, I think he passed.
Well, considering he started in 1916, he was before the Titanic almost. Yeah. All right, Steve. Busy week coming up for Bullpup Sports. Well, not as much busy, but important.
Important, yeah.
Thursday, we've got soccer, golf going on today out at Turkey Creek. Friday and Saturday, state tennis. Friday, league track. Saturday, league swimming.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much winding down. Should be a great week. What we're really looking forward to is the tennis.
Yeah.
Bullpups have a great chance. I think it would be banner. If they can win, it would be banner number 56, I believe. Ooh. I think girls were 55 this past spring, and I think the next banner would be number 56, and I think we got three great chances. Girls soccer team has the best team in the or best record in the state. The boys tennis team's been ranked number one. Girls track has an outside chance. Probably won't get it done, but they're going to be, I think they'll be at least in the top three.
For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.